Good morning, New Life family. Good to have you back with us once again this Sunday morning. Also, all of our family back in New Orleans and others watching today, welcome to this week's segment from New Life Worship Center. Last week, we talked about pandemic, pestilence, and plague. And this week, let's look at one more calamity mentioned throughout Scripture, and that is the word famine. And so for the next few minutes, I'd like to speak to you from this thought, a famine in our land, a famine in our land. Just as God used calamities to accomplish his purposes, so he also uses famine, just as he did pandemic, pestilence, and plague. And so again, we're focusing on the famine aspect this morning. Joel Rosenberg of the Joshua Fund reminds us what those purposes were. This is from last week, and so let's just refresh our memory a little bit. Why God allows things like this to come. First of all, it's executing divine judgment on an individual or a nation or even a group of nations for chronic and unrepentant sin. So again, chronic meaning a lifestyle of that type of sin, where it's not just a once or once in a while that you mess up, you know, make a mistake, but it's something that is constant in your life. It's chronic. And then also, it's unrepented. You have not repented of that sin, of that lifestyle of sin, and so God sends or executes divine judgment. Secondly, God also issues it as a warning to us, warning an individual or nations or group of nations that they too could face this divine judgment for their chronic or unrepentant sin. So again, God sends it for executing his divine judgment, and then also as a warning to others to, hey, change your ways or this could happen to you as well. And then finally, it's also God sends it as a shaking. In other words, he's shaking an individual or a nation or nations so that they will wake up from spiritual slumber or rebellion and repent of their sins and turn in faith to a holy, personal, biblical, healthy relationship with God. God has always wanted to have a relationship with his people. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. And that's what God has always wanted from the Garden of Eden through today. God wants to be and live among his people. And then famine is simply defined as this, an acute shortage of food or great hunger. That's what famine actually means. And then we find in the Bible, the books of Genesis, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel in particular, among others, but those in particular are filled with numerous accounts or references of a famine in a particular land or among a certain people group. And so in Deuteronomy 32:24, God warns the nation of Israel that if they disobey his commandments and laws, he will send wasting famine against them. Wasting famine. In other words, a famine that will totally devastate their land, their crops, their, you know, just wipe out all growth, plant growth or whatever in their land. And it would steal away their food supply. And so as a result of that warning, Solomon prays a great prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8. So let's turn there for just a moment. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to begin at verse number 37, and Solomon is in the midst of praying this great prayer as he has dedicated the new temple. And he says this, when famine, not if, but when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and act. Deal with each man according to what all or according to all he does, since you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of all men. You know, the Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. He looks at what's inside of us. It's how he chose David to become king of Israel. You know, he saw that David was a man after God's own heart. And so God looks at what's inside of us, not at the outward appearance. And then in the book of Job, chapter 5, we're going to pick up at verse number 17, and we're told this in that portion of Scripture. Blessed is the man whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, we hear basically that same thing, for us not to despise the discipline of the Almighty. Verse 18 in Job chapter 5 says this, for he, God, wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. And then verse 19 says this, from six calamities he will rescue you, and in seven no harm will befall you. And then look at verse 20, and it says this, in famine he will ransom you from death. So in the midst of all these different things, as we mentioned last week, pandemic, pestilence, plague, and now this week in famine, God will rescue us from death. And in battle, he'll rescue us from the stroke of the sword. You will be protected from the lash of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine. I like that. You know, in the midst of everything we're going through right now and that we've already been through, there's been so many voices of fear and worry and anxiety coming at us. And it's so easy to fall into those things, into a depression, into worry and all of this, you know, if we listen to all of those voices. But he says you can laugh at these things that come your way. Laugh at the destruction. You can laugh at famine. You don't have to be concerned. God will keep you safe in the midst of all the junk that's going on around you. Those of us that know the Lord, we've found that to be true. Amen? We've had the peace of God with us throughout this. The peace of God that passes all understanding. A peace that keeps our hearts and our minds safe in Christ Jesus. And then skip down to verse 24 of Job chapter 5, and it says this, you will know that your tent is secure. You will take stock of your property and find nothing missing. I love that verse because I believe it says this to us. You will know that your tent is secure. Well, what is our tent? Well, it's our home. It's where we live. And he says, in the midst of all this stuff, plague or famine or pestilence, he says, your tent, your home, your dwelling place will be a place where you feel secure. It'll be a place of security for you. And then he says, you will take stock of your property, of your possessions, the things that you own, things that belong to you, and you will find that nothing is missing. Isn't that great? In the midst of all this, God says, you know what? The enemy cannot steal, kill, or destroy in your life and among your possessions. Man, I love that. And then Psalm 33 tells us this, beginning at verse number 18. And it says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, those of us who reverence him, who stand in awe of him. He says, and the eyes of the Lord are on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. You know what? In the midst of this, again, a great thing that we have to lean upon as Christians is the unfailing love of our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that the enemy comes to do only three things. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly and that you might enjoy it to the full. The word also tells us that God has provided all things richly for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy your life, not dread it, not let it be a drudgery or a pain to you, but God wants you to enjoy the life and the breath that he's given you today. So just remember that and take stock of that and let the Lord do that for you in your life. And then it says in verse 19 that God will come to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. God is so faithful to deliver us from death. The last enemy to be destroyed, the word tells us, is death itself. And Jesus did that when he died on the cross. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. So he delivers us from death, and he will keep us alive even in the midst of famine or pestilence or plague. God is with us, God is for us, and God lives within us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he says in verse 20, we wait in hope for the Lord. I love that word hope. In the midst of everything today, in our nation and literally around the world, we wait in hope for the Lord to come and to rescue us. He, the Lord Jesus, is our help and our shield. In him, in Christ, our hearts, our minds rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Praise God. And then he says this, may your unfailing love, that love that we just talked about earlier, may your unfailing love rest, remain upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. I love that as well. He says, may your unfailing love rest upon us, remain with us, even as we put our hope in you. If you're putting your hope in any person or any other entity beside the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be disappointed. But if your hope is in the Lord, then you will not ever be disappointed. And then Psalm 37 shares this with us in verse 18. And it says this, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. The Bible says that we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that inheritance, Peter says, is reserved in heaven for us, and it's there untouchable by anyone. And I love that. Our inheritance, he says, will endure forever. Then verse 19, in times of disaster, they will not wither. The days of the blameless in days and times of disaster, we're not going to wither under the pressures around us. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Those of us that know the Lord, in the midst of pandemic or pestilence or plague, and yes, even famine, we will know plenty. We'll enjoy the blessings and the abundance of God. Now, thankfully, most of us in America have not known or experienced an acute shortage of food or known great hunger. In other words, we've really not experienced a famine like that in our land. So, what is the famine in our land today? What are we lacking? What are we really missing? What is there a famine of in the United States of America and really around the world as well? Well, Amos chapter 8, verses 11 gives us the answer to that question. And he says this, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. That's a powerful statement. In our country today, we're blessed with an abundance of food at this time. We're blessed with plenty, as we just talked about, even in the midst of stuff around us, pandemic or whatever around us. We're blessed with plenty. This is a blessed nation. But he says that in times of famine, there would be no hurt, no harm to us. And so, but what there is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, a famine of hearing from God, a famine of what is God saying to us individually, as families, and also as a nation. We all know that there's no shortage of words or voices out there today, right? And many people are listening to those voices and swallowing all of those words, hook, line, and sinker. People are just listening to so much negativity right now. And so many are taking it in and believing it and becoming depressed by it. So the problem in our country is that many people don't want to hear or listen to the words of the Lord. You know, they'll listen to the nightly news. They'll listen to all these negative reports. But nobody wants to hear from God. Nobody wants to know what the Bible has to say hardly anymore. There's a famine of that in our land today. There's no shortage of the Word of God going out, but people don't want to listen to it. And so it's unfortunate that this is not a new problem. And let's look at this in Scripture, in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 relays this just as if it was today. For the time will come, and I think it now is, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. You know, once this nation was founded on the Word of God, once in our country the Bible was revered as the honored textbook in our schools, but he says there's going to come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to know what the Bible has to say. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And you know what? That's not just out there in the world around us, but even in churches across this nation today, there may be a famine of what the Bible really has to say. Some discredit the Word, even among some denominations today. Oh, that's the Bible's not really the literal, inerrant Word of God, they say. But I don't believe that. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is inerrant, and that holy men of God spoke as they were anointed to write by the Holy Spirit. And so, but it says in the last days that people don't want to listen to sound doctrine. They don't want to know what the Word of God has to say. They rather do their own thing. And so they gather teachers, even preachers around them that will tell them what they want to hear, that will make them feel good and not talk about sin, not talk about the judgment of God or the wrath of God or what may be coming in days ahead. But in God's Word, there's all of that that we need to know and take heed that we can avoid some of that if we live a life that is pleasing to God. God wants us to be holy. He said, "Be holy because I am holy," says the Lord. And then let's kind of transition to those end-time comments by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus warns us not to be deceived by the words of some of these false teachers or false prophets. So let's look at that in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin at verse number 1. In the NIV, the subtitle says this, "The signs of the end of the age," or the signs of the end times and the end of the world. And so let's begin in Matthew 24, verse number 1. And it says this, "Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. And he says, Jesus asked, 'Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down.'" That prophecy came true. That prophecy of Jesus came true in 70 AD when the Roman army destroyed that temple that the disciples had just walked out of. Verse 3, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" The disciples were so inquisitive. They wanted to know, "Lord, when is this going to happen? How will we know?" Many of us have that same question today. We believe in the second coming of Christ. We believe that he's coming back for us to catch us away. And so in verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Interesting that he did not give them a sign as his first words out of his mouth. But the first words were, "Don't let anybody deceive you." Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. there will be famines. There's that word again. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. You know, we see in our world today, even this very day, there's a cyclone hitting the nation of India right now. And we know that the Word tells us that there are going to be things like that in the last days. Pestilence, plague, famines, earthquakes in various, numerous places. But he also says this, these are the beginning of birth pains. And so what he's saying there is that just as a woman in labor, as the birth nears and her pains increase in number and intensity, and then comes the birth of that child, he says, so it will be with the signs of the end of the world. And we see that happening here in Florida. We're very familiar, and along the Gulf Coast, with the hurricanes that we've been getting in recent years. They've increased in number, but they've also increased in intensity. And so, again, a prophetic word of Jesus coming to pass in our own lifetime, that these events, famines, earthquakes as well, all around the world, storms, signs in the heavens, the weather, all this happening, letting us know that the coming of Christ is getting closer and closer because they're increasing in number, these events, and also in intensity. Well, let's get back to Scripture, verse number 9. And it says this, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and even put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me, because of our belief in Christ. At that time, at the end, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Just what we read earlier about people wanting to listen to only what they want to hear. Don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us about these negative things or negative events that are coming on the earth. But he says, false prophets are going to appear, and they will deceive many people. And that's what Jesus warned us about at the beginning of this scripture. He says, don't be deceived. So guys, let's wake up. Let's know what this word has to say for ourselves. You need to read the Bible for yourself. Don't let somebody else tell you what it says, but go to the Word and see what it says for yourself. Because we know that this Word, he says, by our words we'll be justified, by our words we'll be condemned. Well, the Word of God is so clear. It's so precious. You need to know it. I need to know it so that we're walking in the path that God wants us to walk in. Amen. And then verse 12 says this, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The Bible says the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. When people start calling wrong right and what's right wrong, then we know we're in trouble. That's happening in our culture today in America and around the world. This is happening. The wicked are freely strutting about because what is vile is being honored among men in our culture. And then verse 13, but he who stands firm to the end, that's who's going to be saved. So guys, let's get into this word. Let's know what it says, and let's stand on these promises of God. Let's know what it means and know what it says. He who stands firm to the end is going to be saved. And then verse 14, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And you know what? In this pandemic and what we're going through around the world, the gospel, the good news of Christ, has been spreading further and further just because of programs just like this and thousands upon thousands of others around the world and across our nation as well. The gospel is being preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to every nation, And he says, and then once that happens, then the end will be allowed to come. And so in conclusion, I want us to turn this morning to the book of Romans. This is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, and I want us to pick up at verse number 35. Romans 8 and verse 35. And a great question is asked here by Paul. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do that? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are super Nikes, more than conquerors through Him, through Christ, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, I want you this morning to begin to focus your thoughts upon this unfailing love of God, this unfailing love that Jesus has for us. The love of the Father was proven. He says, God proved His love to us in that while we were still sinners, God let Jesus die for us on the cross. And so the question was, who can separate us from this love? And the answer is no one. No one can separate us from the love of God that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you've experienced that love. You know it firsthand. That love has gotten you through many things in your life. And you know what? God's going to get us all through this as well. But maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning. Maybe you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart, to live, to dwell there. If you want to do that this morning, I want us to pray together. Father, move upon each one today. Lord, help each one of us, Lord, afresh and anew, to experience this great love of the Father, this great love of Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, and also the love that the Holy Spirit has for us. The Spirit of God, His job is to draw us to Christ. Unless the Spirit of God draws us, we can't come. And so, Father, move this morning and draw men and women and young people and even children. Draw them to You this morning, to this steadfast, unfailing love that You have for each and every one of us. Father, come into every heart and every life and forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, forgive us of anything that would be displeasing to You. Empty us of those things and fill us with Your precious Holy Spirit. God, move in every life today. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to hear and to answer prayer. And so, God, do that right now. Hear our prayers. Forgive our sins. Heal our land. Turn us back to You, back to the foot of the cross, back to the Bible, back to those things that are pleasing in Your sight, Father. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. Have a great day. Be safe. Take care.